Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 3rd of September, recording at 8:27 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets mostly down. And an exception here, Japan was slightly higher, but it's been a pretty soft performance there. European stock markets closed down. They had nudged with the unchanged, just modest gains level, but weakened on Wall Street. But Wall Street has pared back its losses considerably as I speak, is almost unchanged on the day, although the NASDAQ is a little softer here once again. Long-dated government bond prices are firm again here today. And the US dollar, now the dollar is up. I'm just checking, it's barely up. Actually, the dollar was up quite a bit earlier today, but has given up some ground here and slipped back. Now that helped metals to steady. And I'm just looking on my screen here right now just to pick all these up. For instance, gold, which got down to 789, is currently at 800. And that's fairly typical of what's going on overall. Crude oil, too, that had dipped down to 107.22, but it's back to 109.5, that type of action. Okay. So what's going on here overall as far as markets are concerned? Well, stock markets remain very nervous because people say, well, what has actually changed? And if you're focused on the credit crisis, the West's credit crisis, or if you are focused on the global economic slowdown, then not a lot has changed. What has certainly changed, though, and I maintain that the biggest fears is where we are in the area of the biggest fears. That's where we are seeing the biggest change. For instance, crude oil prices, we have not seen the higher spike, as I mentioned, almost daily, but it's a point worth repeating here because although the fright from the oil spike is going to linger for some time, and although the economic damage in terms of slower GDP growth that has caused is really going to linger for a while longer. When we've had oil spikes in the past, and they've been relatively infrequent, but they have caused recessions and bear markets. So we certainly see that reflected, not least in Asias that I like very much for the long term, such as Asia. And they were badly affected by the oil price spike because some of those countries, of course, they subsidize energy prices and they've had to remove some of those subsidies and the inflation pressure is pushed way up. And a problem. But, of course, oil prices are much lower and going lower still, in my view. One of the reasons why oil prices are going lower is we're still getting this deleveraging and big unwind of a lot of those speculative plays. I've written extensively about that today, so I won't repeat all of those points. But another big concern was that long-dated government bond yields were going to spike. Well, they've come down. So that is not signaling inflation, and central banks are pleasantly surprised to see this. Then what about the dollar? People had said that the dollar was going to collapse, or a lot of people feared, including myself, that was an ongoing risk. We've had a very good rally in the U.S. dollar. So people are sort of searching for a new crisis. And, you know, it may seem masochistic, but it becomes addictive. And what are they grabbing onto? A deflation, serious deflation. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. We had the same fears back in 2002 and 2003, and then lingered on for longer. Remember all those inflation deflation debates? Flourmani came down firmly on the side of very gradually, incrementally rising inflationary pressures. And today we have a return of those deflationary fears. Well, my view first is that it won't happen for the same reasons that it didn't happen before. That while central banks would actually welcome a deflation scare, I think they were more concerned about it last time around, but we had all the Bernanke helicopter speeches and so on, and they printed money like stink, as you know. And that, of course, led to the asset inflation, and which filtered through to the CPI inflation, and so on. Now, a deflation scare would almost inevitably moderate wage pressures, as will rising unemployment. And therefore, if central banks felt that people were seriously worried about deflation, we need more editorial writers to become concerned about deflation. But if that's what people are talking about, then the central bank's going to be white knights once again and go in and reassure everybody and say that they will provide liquidity as required and pump the system up again, and then we get another asset inflation cycle. So that's where I think we're going. It's just that you can see it out there, and we have to hang around for the months until we actually get there, and that can be not an optimum situation, needless to say. But the technical evidence for stock markets in terms of this rally, well, first, it's not over. I think it would be rash to be too aggressive in forecasts. I've often said that there are more questions than answers at any time. But to repeat a question that I've asked before, could we have actually seen the stock market lows for a number of these stock markets, and could we have actually commenced the bottoming out and base building process? And the answer is yes. In the sectors that were hit hardest, because they were the focal point of concerns, we've seen the biggest rallies. It's partly due to shorting and short covering. But again, we've seen the biggest rallies. That's the way stock markets bottom out. Those include the Western bank shares. So if we want to hang our contentions on a particular level on the charts, look at last month's reaction lows. I've said this before, that stock markets, including all those financials, would have to go down through last month's reaction lows to indicate that we were going to have a risk of an additional leg in the bear trend. Meanwhile, every further step on the upside, little step on the upside, and mostly these patterns are ranging and little pushes to the upside, breaks above, for instance, the September highs by, I beg your pardon, the August highs, breaks above the August highs by a number of indices would be quite a positive technical development. And I would give that possibility the benefit of the doubt. Now, the US dollar, it's been a heck of a run. Today we saw some evidence that the run is getting a bit winded. And technically, looking a bit overextended on the charts, we have seen, the euro falling down around that 143 level. That's the bottom of a prior range, again looking a little bit overextended. So don't be surprised if we get a little bit more steadying in here. But I don't see evidence that the dollar will see more than a small correction at this stage. In other words, I am not at all convinced that this rally is over. I do feel, looking further out, that when this rally does lose upside momentum and roll over, that we will get quite a significant retracement, and that would be quite bullish for precious metals, and I would expect some good rallies in a number of commodities, although not top testing rallies. I think for top testing rallies, we have in commodities, remember those had spiked to such high levels earlier this year. To get top testing rallies, we would have to have major supply disruptions. Well, that's not going to happen for gold, for instance. And I don't think it'll happen for crude oil. Hopefully it doesn't happen for crude oil. The world would be in big, big trouble if we went back up to that 147 level, let alone higher. And I don't think we will. I don't see evidence of that in the charts. But for oil to prices to remain at more benign levels or less punitive levels, we need to avoid the sort of serious events that would cause it to spike. And my guess is that we will. And I think that's pretty much it. The Dow's unchanged as I speak here with about 20 minutes to go before the close. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.